Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, open with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Now we are in the 7th verse, and we'll be dealing with the remainder of that verse. Just want to read some passages not necessarily connected here. But verse 7, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you may be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brothers which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of boasting in the regions of Achaia." Now moving down to verse 24. Paul is sharing of the difficulties he has faced. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Upon once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brothers, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows that I'm not lying." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for your servant Paul and for your challenge to our hearts through him. And we pray, Father, that you would move in our hearts in this time. Make a move in us that we might be more like Jesus. And thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you happen to want to know who the smartest person on the planet is, I can almost without any doubt, without any hesitation, tell you it's not anybody that's running for the presidency of the United States. If you wanted to know who the smartest person that ever lived, oh, it was easy. It was Jesus. He knew all. He had all God's wisdom because he is God. But if you were going to go to someone else, someone that was studied, someone that had a high level of intelligence, a high level of education, I believe that person would be the Apostle Paul. We cannot calculate the wealth of blessings that has poured out on the church, the universal church, by this one servant of Christ. So, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine there were people in Paul's day that didn't like him. I think it set a pattern. There have been people in every day that haven't been too fond of preachers. But in Paul's day, there were people not only that didn't like him, but they set out to destroy him. It wasn't so much that they just wanted to stop him. They wanted to destroy his reputation. They wanted to destroy any of his preaching. They wanted to criticize. They wanted to put him down. They wanted him to be wiped from the face of the earth and anything he had ever said and done been completely annihilated. Why such hatred and bitterness toward Paul? They openly criticize Paul's preaching, his practices, and his person. Now, it's hard for us to think about these ancient people and how they lived. It's like Gilligan's Island. There were no lights, no phones, no motor cars, not a single luxury. They lived in a day without video entertainment. They lived in a day without radio. But let me tell you what they had. They had orators. They had great speakers. They had people of wisdom that would expound and hold people in the very palm of their hand with the power of their speech. And Paul, I believe, was one of these people, and yet that's not how he is presented. They said, boy, here is a blow to any preacher. There's no power in his preaching. They said he is a poor representative to speak. Well, let me be clear. I don't believe what they said was true. We have evidence of the captivating messages that were preached by the Apostle Paul. In fact, preachers and theologians throughout the ages have gained great wisdom in trying to understand what Paul had to say. We know Paul was a good enough preacher to keep people listening. We know at least one occasion he kept people listening past midnight. Now, we know what happened. There was somebody in the room when Paul was preaching past midnight that went to sleep. I don't have to preach to midnight to get that to happen. Paul was preaching. A boy fell out of the third balcony. Broke his neck. He died. Didn't stop Paul. Some of you guys have your cell phones go off in the middle of preaching and everybody acts like it's the end of the world. Paul had a guy die. It didn't stop him. What'd he do? Prayed for the person. God raised him. And as far as I know, Paul kept on going. You couldn't even die and get away from Paul's preaching. The most critical attacks came from him from all areas. Now, if you wanted to know the most common criticism of all preachers, just across the board of all time, it would be how preachers deal with money. It is very common to say is all they care about is money. All I can tell you is, if a person goes into this line of work for money, he's not very wise. Paul did not want to limit himself in Corinth. And even though he makes it very clear that a minister is worthy of their pay, and thank you, Paul, for that, Paul would not take a penny or a mite from those in Corinth. We know he worked making tents, and then he preached at every opportunity. He received support from churches from the outside, actually from Macedonia. The enemies of Paul used that to criticize him. If he had taken money, they would criticize him. Because he didn't take money, they criticized him. Why, if he was any kind of preacher, he would be being paid. Then the enemy of Paul went on. They attacked the way he looked. You know, it's an interesting thing. When you enter the ministry, you are free game. I have had people criticize my dress. I've never worn a dress. How I dress. I've had people criticize the color of my ties. I've had people criticize how much I weigh. I am constantly told, if I'm gaining weight, I'm constantly told by individuals how big I'm getting. And I just said, well, church has always wanted a bigger preacher. Those are common in my life. I've had people tell me my hair was too short. I've had some people tell me my hair was too long. I've had a lot of people tell me my hair was too gray. And let me be quick to remind you, it wasn't gray when I got to you people. So I understand Paul is sitting there and he is being criticized. They criticize how he looked. Now, from what we know, Paul was short, stocky, balding. He possibly walked bent over. He was scarred, and the scars were visible from the many beatings he took serving the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody say you should not judge a book by its cover? If you judge people just by the way they look, let me tell you, you are going to miss out on some of the best relationships God has for you on this planet. So Paul may not have been very impressive in his person. You know, our world is drawn to the attractive. It's drawn to the young, to the Adonis type. But God calls all types. And so Paul was bent over. If you had been beaten as Paul had been beaten, I dare say you would be bent over as well. To combat the assault, Paul does something that he really doesn't want to do. He talks about himself. And he speaks about the priority of the gospel. If you don't know anything about this man, you should know he has a priority in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, have I committed an offense in abusing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? Now, if that sounds sarcastic a little bit, it's because it is. Paul uses sarcasm. Have I been wrong in abusing myself so that you might be exalted? Then Paul brings in the focus, his purpose. Have I been wrong in doing whatever is possible so that I might preach the gospel to you? Paul was willing to put himself on the line. He was willing to suffer the indignities. He was willing to suffer personal assaults, to go without personally if it gave him the opportunity to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ across. How different Paul is from many in today's world. Today you find many preachers exalting themselves, seeking others to serve them instead of trying to serve along the side of others. Elevating themselves instead of elevating Jesus. With these types of leaders, the church has become a social club and a place where people are not challenged to turn from their sin. A place where people are not challenged to fall in love with Jesus. A place where people are not challenged to get into God's Word and allow God's Word to get into them. Churches have become, for the most part, something that people in the world think you can take or leave, and most are leaving it. We need to tell them that is not so. We need God's house. We need time in God's house. No one has challenged people to turn from their sins in these churches. Nobody challenges people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That causes them to put almost anything in the world in front of Jesus. And so Jesus' time becomes afterthought. I'll be committed if I don't have anything else to do. I'll show up if I don't have anything else in mind or thought. There was a day Jesus meant so much to believers that you ordered your schedule around what God was doing and what your church was doing. There was a time since I have been in Columbus when churches stood up and all the ball teams in town stopped practicing on Wednesday nights. There was a time
when there was not even a thought of a practice taking place on a Sunday, much less a game. Fast forward to where we live today. People have no problems with Wednesday nights. They don't care about the fact that it's a night for prayer meetings and a time for worship and a time for gathering at God's house. They don't care about Sundays anymore. In fact, families will pack up and travel the whole weekend to have, you know, another sports occasion, and church just kind of goes by the wayside and God is just kind of left out. And our world has moved further and further and further away from serving the Lord God. And Sunday school classes become emptier and emptier because people don't have the commitment that once was there. Yes, we need revival. But yes, we need believers that will continue to take a stand because they believe the gospel is important. Listen to the commitment of Paul to the preaching of the gospel. In verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me from boasting. Now, he's not talking about I'm not going to brag on myself. Nobody's going to stop me from bragging on me. He's saying nobody's going to stop me from boasting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell the gospel when they like it. I'm going to tell the gospel when they don't like it. Hopefully, I'll tell the gospel till they do like it. He would personally take nothing from the Corinthians so that he might be able to preach the gospel with power and nobody could point to him and said, you're about the money. In this way, his enemies couldn't say that he was just trying to build himself up. To Paul, the most important thing in his life was preaching the gospel. The reason Paul had taken this stance to bear the price of proclaiming the gospel was not personal pride, it was personal love. He loved people. And he wanted people to know the love of God. He loved Jesus, and it just spilled over in his life. When you give yourself to people that they might surrender to Jesus, when you pray for people, when you keep people on your heart, you fall in love with them, and it is important for you that they know you're Jesus. That's how Paul felt. That's how I feel for you. The enemies of Paul were also enemies of God. They were enemies of the Corinthians. They were enemies of anything spiritual. Paul warns them so that they might be able to spot the fakes. Beware of false apostles. Beware of false teachers. Beware of those that would lead you away from God's harmony and God's purpose and God's love. Beware of those that raise their names up high, but leave the gospel out or leave Jesus out. Now, you know this. No preacher is perfect. And I've given you plenty of examples of that in my own life. We are all sinners. All Christians are sinners. We are just sinners who have received the gospel of Jesus Christ and been saved by his grace. We are blessed sinners. The church must be able to distinguish between God's servants and Satan's spies. There is a difference in one who promotes the gospel and exalts Jesus and one who leads people astray, promoting themselves or their own selfish will. Paul points out, it shouldn't surprise us that there are false prophets sneaking into the church, appearing as God's servants, because the devil himself appeared as an angel of light. You know, the devil doesn't show up in a red suit wearing horns. The devil doesn't try to get you to be a mass murderer. The devil is not out to tempt you to go on a bank robbing spree. The devil just wants to get your mind off of Jesus. If you are lost, the devil doesn't want you saved, and the devil is going to seek to move you in that direction. If you are saved, you know all the devil wants? You to miss God's will by that much. Because if he can get you out of God's will, if he can get your heart out of God's will, if he can get your direction out of God's will, then he can have you where he wants you, and you will not lead anybody to where God wants them. If you are truly saved and you've surrendered to Jesus for salvation, the devil wants you to miss God's purpose. Don't miss God's purpose. This is why I stick to preaching the Word of God. This is why I stick to proclaiming the gospel. I seek decisions for Christ because decisions for Christ need to be made. I can't save anybody, but the gospel of Jesus Christ can save everybody that will receive it. And a pulpit where the gospel is not proclaimed is not worth the space or the time. So at Northside Baptist Church, we want each Sunday school teacher to understand the gospel, and for the class to understand the gospel, and for the members to understand the gospel. We want them to have a gospel outreach. We want every song that is sung by our music ministry to hold up Jesus and hold up the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that everyone knows in our music that we love Jesus and we are serving Jesus. We want every message that it's ever proclaimed to have Jesus and the gospel included in it at the forefront of it. We want it to be about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need to take the priority of the gospel seriously. And then Paul talks about the profession of the grounds in verse 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Now, Paul was greatly troubled by the false teachers. They were a plague in the church, and they were a plague to him. They boasted about how great they were and how wonderful they were, and they elevated themselves. They were prideful about their credentials. Paul says, you're going to be prideful about your credentials? Let me tell you about my credentials. And Paul lays the groundwork for his ministry. Paul was going to fight their boasting, but he was going to turn the tables on them a little bit. Paul was saddened by these false teachers, but he's not going to meet them crown by crown. He's going to talk to them about scar by scar. He's going to tell them about what took place in his life. He's going to tell them about the challenges that went on. The false teachers flaunted their earthly standing. Paul lays aside the grounds for his standing. Now, if they want to talk about being a Hebrew, Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. There from Palestine, Paul was there too. He had his credentials. If they wanted to claim their education, Paul's education was far greater than theirs. They claim to be servants of Christ, Paul lingers there. And Paul says he was a servant of Christ, and then he tells what he went through for Christ. Scar by scar. Have you ever been around some of our folks with a little more seniority when they begin to talk about their surgeries? One of the joys of the pastor is sometimes being around people when they're doing a scar competition. I had this surgery here. Let me show you this. May I tell you all at one time, I don't need to see your scars. I'm sorry for whatever you've been through. I hope you're doing better, but you can keep your scars to yourself for the most part. But they start showing a scar here and a scar there and comparing scars. Well, Paul started saying, listen, let me tell you about my scars. Paul's world in the ministry was very difficult. 5 times he had the skin peeled off his back. 5 times. Jesus had it done once. Paul had it done 5 times. And they complained about him walking bent over. He was beat with rods, these long poles. They would strap you down, and then they would beat them and break them over their backs. He was beaten physically. He was beaten intentionally. He was stoned with one, and left outside the city for dead. Because generally people didn't get up from being stoned. Paul did. Paul knew well what it was like to be in prison because he was in prison a lot. He faced death often. Remember in Romans 8 when Paul talks about the difficulties you may face, he said this, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul wasn't talking figuratively. Paul had been through all that. And he knew that Jesus had held him, and he knew that Jesus had loved him, and he knew that Jesus had spared him, and he was going to live for Jesus every time he got the chance. On top of all those things, he was shipwrecked. You name the problem, Paul had it. He was even snake bit. Those were the outward physical struggles. On the interior physical struggles, Paul emotionally was being assaulted by the very people that he was trying to save. He was criticized for the very gospel that Jesus had given him to put forth. If anyone had the power to stand, the right to stand, the authority to stand, it was the Apostle Paul. And so he gives the profession of the grounds, and then he tells us the privilege of the glory. In verse 30, "If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." Paul didn't tell these stories to say, "Look at me, look how strong I am, look what I've endured." It's just the opposite. Paul understood that he was weak. Paul understood that his body was beaten down. Paul understood that it was only by the grace of the God that he could actually get up and talk to anybody at any time. Paul understood that every time that he spoke, that it was by the power of God. It wasn't his power, it was God's power. And so he would praise the Lord and he would talk about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. For only Jesus could take weak old Paul and do something great. Oh, listen. If you're going through struggles, if you're going through difficulties, if you're going through hardships, I challenge you, read this 11th chapter about what the Apostle Paul went through. And he still stood up for Jesus. The amazing thing is not that we are perfect and we live perfect lives and oh, come look at us because we're so good. So we stand for Jesus. No, the amazing thing is we've messed up. We've messed up so many times. We've gone against God when we shouldn't go against God. We've gone against God's word when we know it's God's word. We've sinned again and again and again. And we don't deserve anything from God. And yet he reaches out loving us to pick us up, to use us. Even you, even me. If God could take Paul's beaten, bruised, battered body and use him in power, it's just an evidence that God can take our weaknesses and he can show his strength. And what comes from that? Glory. Glory, glory. Now, if you've never invited Jesus to save your soul, you're here so you can do that. You need to just come and say, "I want Jesus. Jesus is Almighty God. He died for you on Calvary's cross. He was buried. He rose again. He wants to come into your heart." All you have to do is open your heart and invite him in. You can just come say, "I want Jesus." Believer, is it possible that you've gotten out of step? Maybe this much? Get back in step. Let's make our life, let's make our walk, let's make our days about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word of challenge. Father, we ask now that you would move in us, that you would draw us, Father, to decisions we need to make, that we would, Father, meet the challenges you lay before us for your victory. Father, for those that are here that do not know you, that they would come to know you. Father, for those that here that know you, that we would not miss your purpose, that we would get in line with your will, Father, and we would elevate Jesus with all that we are and all that we have. Guide us to decisions, Father, just to put Jesus first. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?